Yeshaya, Perek Mem Dalad, Pasuk Tes Zayin, Le'ilu Nishmas Avi Mori Pes Dabar Navram Nata. So we're in the middle of describing the craftsmen who make all of these idols. But it's interesting that while he chooses the best wood and takes extra care with it, but at the same time he's using the same wood to burn his toast. How can you make something of divine worship and at the same time you are using the remainder of the wooden blocks for your own basic needs? It just makes no sense to say that this is divinity and this is life and necessity and say it's the same wood. You're perverting your own idea of what a god is. Chetz yosorav b'moesh. Half of it he burns in the fire. Al chetz yobasar yochel. Half of it he uses, maybe half of what he put on the fire, to roast meat, to eat his fill. Yitzlet soli v'yisba. So what's he doing? He's taking all this wood. He's taking a big chunk, half of the wood, and he's burning it in the fire, and he's roasting his meat on it. You know, if you're using fire to make shawarma, and the fire is fueled by your god, that's just strange. Af yachom v'yomar ha'och. He also warms himself from it. And he says, Ha'och is kind of like, I am warm. Chamosi ro'isi ur. I'm warm. I can see the light. Fire is lovely. It's beautiful. I have a campfire. It's just absolutely ridiculous. How could one's eyes, says Rabbi Hirsch, not be open to the ridiculous aspect of such, quote, divine, unquote, worship? How can one's mind remain closed to such abomination? How can an idol worshiper expect all his needs to be granted by a product of his own efforts this way? And the remainder of the wood, he's making his god, his idol, Yis God Lo, to bow down to it. Double Lashon, as Yeshaya often does, as we've seen before. We had Yisgad a few psukim ago. V'yishtachu v'yispalo le'lov. And he's going to prostrate himself and lay himself down on the floor in front of it and pray to it. V'yomar hatzileni ke'eliyata. And say, save me. You are my God. Ultimately, the foolishness of trying to make a divine getchka out of the physical, limited world. What this is actually a tremendously powerful argument for the exact thing that the ancient world could not comprehend, which is a God who is invisible and non-corporeal, and a God who nowadays, chas v'shalom, critics on the internet and everywhere like to say, well, you know, it's a fantasy, like a flying spaghetti monster, God forbid. And they mock the idea of God allegedly being the intellectual creation of human beings. And yet what Yeshaya is showing us is that the eternal cannot be limited to something physical that is going to decay and where, like the Sphinx, the nose is going to fall off. How is that divinity? So a non-corporeal God was something that the ancient world could not even contemplate. And a non-corporeal God is something that the abstract, allegedly sophisticated world that we live in right now cannot contemplate. And so a very interesting series of articles in the New York Times about how at least 30% of Americans identify themselves as nuns, not Catholic nuns, like, you know, the flying nun, but N-O-N-E-S. When they ask you, what is your religious belief? They say, I have none. Well, Yeshaya is telling us, then you're making a very foolish mistake and you will be called up short someday to deliver judgment, give your arguments, and take your bezdin about why you say such a thing. But for these, the man who makes the God out of physical limited matter, it's not possible. Yilches lo yadu v'lo yavinu. They don't know. They don't understand. They are not aware. Ki tach me'ra'os einehem. Because their eyes are blinded from seeing. Mehaskil libosam. Their hearts are blinded from understanding. Yotes velo yoshev el libo. And it does not occur to him. It never occurs to his heart. V'lo das v'lo savuna lemar. He has no wisdom or understanding to say exactly what Yeshaya just told us. Chetzio sarafti v'moesh. Half of it I burned in the fire. V'af afisi al gechalav lechem. And even I baked bread on its coals. Etz levasar v'ochel. It's got grease on it from the meat that I roasted on this fire. V'yisro l'soe v'es. Am I going to use the rest of this wood to create an abomination? A toeva? Levul eitz esgod. And prostrate myself, bow down, esgod again, before a tree branch? What am I, a moron? They're foolish to do such things, but not be self-reflected enough to ever understand the foolishness of their own actions. Of course, how many of us are in that situation? Self-perception is a very hard thing to acquire. But these people, especially, Pasachof Roeh Efer, he is shepherding ash. He is feeding ashes. Remember, he's burning half the wood on the fire and it is reduced to ashes. That's what he's doing. He's feeding the fire. Lev husal hi tahu. A deceived heart has misled him. He's a figure of pity. He's not a figure of fear and how he's going to conquer us and kill us and torture us. It's pitiful that somebody should act this way and be so unaware. V'lo yatzeles nafsho. And he is not going to be able to save his own soul. Or perhaps it means, and he does not save his own soul. V'lo yomar. And he never chooses to say, halo sheker b'yamini. My right hand has produced falsehood and delusion. He doesn't have the sense to confront his mistake and repent his mistake. Afer, says Rabbi Hirsch, denotes ashes, worthless, withered away, the opposite of life. But Roeh denotes going to pasture, to graze, to feed. So Roeh Efer, followed by V'lo Yatzil Es Nafsho, means one who worships idols will meet his spiritual death, for his way of life inevitably leads to his moral ruin. If there's something deep inside him that he is allowing this to dominate his life, without ever once thinking of the double nature of what he's doing, then what he's doing with this kind of absurdness is he's using this kind of ridiculous logic to justify a way of life that will ultimately appeal to lust and immorality and gratification of passion. The gratification of passion, says Rabbi Hirsch, is the bait that lures the weak to the cult of idol worship in order to degrade them morally and spiritually. When we say that your neshama is in ashes after you do this because you've burnt it up with the wood that you used for your physical satiety, the meat, the bread, it's all about fulfilling your physical needs. So of course, sexuality and other human passions are going to join that. Then ultimately, you're being intellectually dishonest and you know it.